This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. My name's William English, and I'm presenting Wavelength. And I'm ably assisted once again by Milo Thesiger Meacham.
Hello.
Is that correct? Thesiger or Thesiger?
Thesiger.
Thesiger. Thank you. Thank you for assisting me again, Milo. We're here again in this cavernous ex-Mormon chapel. Mm-hmm. About the size of a small cathedral, actually. And the booming intro seemed to resonate around the walls, didn't it? It was extremely quite loud in this space, sort of bouncing around. Seemed quite appropriate for this space.
And that was made by Dan, that
Indeed. The intro was made by Dan Wilson, composed. We have various versions of the intro. And speaking of Dan, Milo, I have a surprise object with me, which Dan asked me to give to you, and I'm going to hand it to you now.
Okay.
And you might want to sort of... What is it?
This is something called a pudding stone.
Pudding stone.
Yeah.
Is it a Hertfordshire pudding stone?
Hertfordshire pudding stone. I think over lockdown, Dan Wilson decided that he would suddenly start collecting.
Right.
This type of rock that is unique to Hertfordshire.
It looks almost edible, doesn't it? It's very heavy.
It looks like concrete to me.
Yes, but it's got like big raisins in it or something. It's got like sort of... It looks like... Hence the name pudding stone, presumably, because it sort of looks like some kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Almost like a... I don't know. A Christmas pudding? Well, hardly a Christmas pudding.
Yeah, and you can see where there were other smaller stones lodged into it and they've been sort of worked out
right. Over
time.
And why has he given one to you?
Because I wanted one. I've got a bit of a...
You want one?
I have a bit of a rock collection.
Do you?
Not very substantial, but...
Okay. You have a rock collection?
As in stones, yeah, not...
Okay.
A collection of rockers.
Fine. Okay, well, there you are. You're now the proud owner of a Hertfordshire pudding stone. So this week's show, the theme is artists' records. They're all... Everything this week is on vinyl. They're all records either by artists, that is to say, they're not primarily recording artists, they're probably visual artists, or all the records are about art in some way. And they're the sort of records that you would actually probably, I think it's fair to say, you would only acquire them or find them at an art gallery, or a similar place, perhaps a bookshop that dealt in art as well. They're unlikely to turn up in record shops as such. Which leads me to you being a younger person, shall we say, Milo? Can I disclose your age on air or not?
You can, yeah.
Okay, so you are 25 years old.
Yeah.
What's your attitude to vinyl? I mean, I'm wondering if this sort of revival in vinyl. Have you ever bought a record?
I have, but I have to say that I've never really understood the vinyl revival, because human hearing isn't that good, actually.
Right.
And the argument that vinyl offers some kind of deeper sonic experience is something I've never really bought as an idea.
But for you, it's obviously not a revival. I mean, for you, it must be vinyl. It's vinyl for the first time. It's like you haven't lived through the extinction of vinyl to see it revive.
No, other than parents, I've never experienced it first.
Do you think this vinyl revival is mainly aimed at people of a certain age, over a certain, or do young people? Because they're often very expensive, aren't they? Vinyl records tend to be sort of like over £20, £25.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a complete waste of money, yeah.
Right. Yes, okay. Especially if you find out that it's online anyway. That's the daunting bit, isn't it?
You go home and find it on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, and that seems terribly disappointing because you think you've got something unique. But anyway, so I'm going to start with... This is a double LP... is a double LP, which came into the shop. And it's called Robert Fraser's Groovy Arts Club Band. Robert Fraser, having been a famous, notorious gallerist in the 1960s. And it's a double LP, and each track is, what should we say, devoted to one artist. So we've got Jean-Michel Basquiat, Peter Blake, Derek Boshier, Jim Dine, Dubuffet, Richard Hamilton, Keith Haring, Bridget Riley, Ed Ruscha, Colin Self, and a couple of others. A double LP designed by Derek Boshier, who I knew as a British pop artist. I suppose he's still active in one way or another. Anyway, I thought we'd start with the Ed Ruscha track, which I think is probably one of the more accessible ones. There's all sorts. Do you recognise any of these people on the play? The Tina Weymouth is one of the musicians, who I certainly recognise. The rest, it seems to be a band put together, and curiously, it's mastered by someone called Jakub Pakanowski at Jakob Records. And can you pronounce that? Bydgoszcz.
No, I think I can.
Looks like it's Czechoslovakian or Polish, doesn't it? Anyway, let's kick off with... So this is Ed Ruscha from Robert Fraser's Groovy Arts Club Band.
Hang out with Ed Ruscha. us who have double parked. Hollywood is a verb. I want to take a plane and fly to LA. I want to hang out with Ed Ruscha. He makes pictures and words into play. That's Ed Ruscha.
Okay, so that's one track from this double LP. I might play another one later. We might go for Collins Self later with the leopard skin nuclear missile. Very languorous track, that, which probably suits Ed Ruscha and the sort of California, Los Angeles vibe.
Yeah.
What was the record you bought?
I think it might have been a Cajun folk record.
Right.
By the something by the Balfour Brothers.
Okay.
And well, that was a while ago now. I went through a kind of...
Cajun phase.
I think for some reason in my second year of university, I went through a kind of Cajun folk phase, only for about a month or so.
Right. I used to have a Clifton Chenier album.
Okay, yeah.
That was very good.
But that, I think that is the only record I've bought. Yeah.
The only record you bought?
The only record I bought. I mean, there are other records, but the ones that people have given to me are not.
You're right.
That's the only one I've actually decided to.
Yeah. And so you wanted it on vinyl. I mean,
I was pretty sure. I'd done some research, and I was pretty sure that the only way I could get hold of the cheapest copy was through that happening to find it in.
Right. So it was a rarity.
Local record shop.
Perhaps it was a rarity.
Yeah,
only rarity. Available on vinyl, perhaps.
No, it's all online.
Yes, but you wanted the object.
It is all online, but it had some nice kind of. Double
yes, exactly. The object
pages,
which is the case with a lot of these records. I think this next track is a very very long track, so I'm going to start it, and when we can sort of talk over the intro of it. There we go. All right. So this next track is
of Mississippi.
Is by Theaster Gates. I was corrected at one of the galleries. I think someone suggested it should be pronounced Theaster Gates, who's quite, what's the word for something that is everywhere at the moment? A kind of...
Ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous, thank you. He seems to be quite of the moment. He had a big ceramics show at the Whitechapel recently. He had a big show... the White Cube have presented massive shows of his work, paintings. And he's presently got something at the Serpentine, where he's apparently designed a black chapel in the grounds of the Serpentine. But I'm reading from some notes now. In the year 2020, it may seem odd to call a project led by Theaster Gates as somehow under-acknowledged or flying under the media radar. And yet you'd be hard-pressed to classify the work being done by a musical group that he leads called the Black Monks as anything but utterly slept on, which basically they're saying that his musical output seems to be... in the shadow of his other activities. So, based in Chicago's South Side, Gates has added to his early mediums of pottery and sculpture, as well as his focus on studies of urban planning, architecture, space theory, and archivism, to become a creative multi-hyphenate. I'm not sure what that means. Whose various practices all hold the ideals of community and history as core to his artistic and social purpose. The latter certainly holds true for the Black Monks, which features a rotating cast of many of Chicago's finest musicians, often amended by local players from wherever the group may be playing, creating one-off improvisational pieces that integrate the richness of the musical traditions of the Black Atlantic with narratives based in the art and community spaces where they perform. So this is a long track by Theaster Gates and the Black Monks. And there's some reference here to... Yes, the Black Monks have so far only released a handful of limited edition vinyl EPs and the soundtrack to Gates' film Dance of Malaga. And the newest one is Afro Mingay, a performance recorded at London's White Cube Gallery in May of last year. So the one we have here, which has no information on it at all, apart from on the spine, what I'm calling the spine of the sleeve, is... This is called Furthermore, with photographs of African masks, colour... full-colour pictures of African masks inside and outside with no further information. In fact, it's one of those one-sided LPs. Oh, okay. You know, the other side is illustrated. I'd have to stop the record and show you, but there's an illustration on the other side, yeah, which doesn't play. So this piece lasts probably about 15 or 20 minutes even.
Look at her eyes.
There is a house.
look at her eyes,
there is a house.
And if we look at her eyes,
there is a house.
Furthermore,
there is a house.
For Negroes and whites,
there is a house.
And if we look at her eyes, the Negroes and the whites.
There is a house.
The Negroes and the whites.
There is a house.
The Negroes and the whites.
There is a house.
Furthermore,
there is a house.
The Negroes and the whites.
There is a house.
Furthermore,
the whites,
the Negroes,
there is a house.
So that's Theaster Gates and the Black Monks, and a quote from Theaster Gates. So right now the monks really experiment with the oldest forms of the Black American experience and then iterate on those forums. Because we have Yaw in the band, spelled Y-A-W, who is also thinking about diasporic experiences, his history with Ghana, and learning to speak Twi, I think that we're an experimental black sound ensemble that's interested in early musics and in how chant, meditation, and a monastic vehicle might help us make a truly new music. So that's Theaster Gates. The next one is a a relatively short track by Wolfgang Tillmans. And I'd be interested to know your response to this, Milo, because it just sounds like fairly straight music. It could be, you know, this you could buy in a music record shop. So this is a 45 RPM track. This one is called Life Guarding. So that's Lifeguarding by Wolfgang Tillmans. Milo, what did you? Would you have known that was an artist's record, or would you just take it to be just music? If you just heard it without knowing that it was by a visual artist, would you just accept it for face value? Or is there anything about it that makes it differentiates it from?
No, I think I would have
just taken it for as it
accepted as that as straightforward.
Just straightforward music. Yeah.
What is that? What you expected me to say?
Probably yes. Yeah. So we'll play one more track from the Robert Fraser's Groovy Arts Club band. And this is sort of what you might call the title track. This is this track. In fact, both LPs have little images of Robert Fraser wearing a hat and smoking a cigarette, wearing a tie, looking quite dandyish, I suppose you'd say, on the image. And so this track is called Groovy Bob, which was the name of a book. He was called Groovy Bob, and there was a book written about him called Groovy Bob also. And then the various other tracks on this LP are other artists: Bridget Riley, Colin Self, Richard Hamilton, Keith Haring, Jan Dubuffet, Derek Bauchier, etc., etc. So this is Groovy Bob. the title track from a double LP called Robert Fraser's Groovy Arts Club Band. Coming up next is another. This is obscure. I think this one. This is called J Spaceman and J Coxon Play the Red Crayola Live, 1967. The whole album sleeve and everything about it is supposed to look or refer to an LP by the conceptual art group Art and Language, who made a record in 1967 called Corrected Slogans. That was Art and Language and the Red Crayola, being the band associated with Art and Language. This recording was made during preparation for a joint performance by J Spaceman and J Coxon as part of, and then the title of the piece is, Art and Language, Letters to the Jackson Pollock Bar in the Style of the Red Crayola, Listen Gallery, New York, 2019, produced by Joanna Thornbury. So part one is a 20-minute track, so we'll play out with this. This will play on till the end of this edition of Wavelength. It's possibly worth pointing out that Art and Language, the conceptual art group, one of the key members was Charles Harrison. And Charles Harrison's son, Orlando Harrison, does a program on Resonance called The Wrong Show. And he in fact works in the same bookshop as me. And Orlando Harrison, the son of Charles Harrison, also plays in a band called the Alabama Three, of which there are, of course, 11 members, possibly 10 now. And their main claim to fame, as far as I'm concerned, Orlando might resent me saying this, but as far as I'm concerned, their main claim to fame was the theme tune to The Sopranos. Anyway, so that's a bit of a digression. So we'll play out with this. This will go on to the end of the program. J Spaceman and J Coxon play The Red Crayola Live, 1967.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.